things. Wonderful to be here this morning. I'd like to offer for our theme today, we focus on being simple. No matter how active or busy our week has been, or how many things we're swept up into, and good things at that, we need to come back home and be simple little children again. So this is an invitation for each one of us to just come home. We've had a long day playing in the schoolyard, attending classes, doing all the things with our friends, and we need to come home for dinner now. So let's just be simple children who are coming home for dinner with God, with our Father, releasing everything from the day, relaxing around anything that's happened that's stirred up excitement, just feeling the joy of being simple. Of finding out what God has for dinner tonight. I'm going to start with this reading from Quiet Talks with the Master. This is the next reading. I'm just going in order. It's called Deeds, Not Results. Let us talk quietly for a few moments. You are coming to see how I am guiding and directing you every moment of your day. I am sending to you those whom I desire you to help. Do not look beyond the moment of the helping, or try to see the result. That is in the hands of your Father. It might give you joy to see the awakening and full flower of your work, and in time that shall be so, but now you are to work in faith. It is one of the ways to grow, and part of the divine plan for you. As I see you are ready, I shall from time to time lift the veil and give you the greatest joy known, the joy of seeing the fulfillment of your work in my service. Go now, not seeking to see results, but to do the deeds, and ever shall you be guided to those who need a word of help and cheer. You are blessed to be chosen an instrument in my creative service. And I'll read one more. It's called My Desires. My child, you have come to the end of your day, and ever have I guided you through its hours. You heard my voice and heeded it. Now, as evening dusk lies over the land and the gentle rain falls against the window, I can come very near to your consciousness, and you shall be able to know that the sweetness of my presence drives away all darkness. If you will come now in faith, believing, to my throne, I shall give you of my richest treasures. I, the Absolute, speak through your mind, my desires. Can I do other than answer my own call? Ask now, fearing not. It shall be fulfilled. Come as to a loving Father whose whole delight is in to give good gifts to his children. And I say unto you, you shall not go unrewarded. Let's pray together, O Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
Divine Mother,
Friend, Beloved God, Great Masters,
Jesus Christ,
Babaji Krishna,
Lahiri
Mahashai,
Lahiri
Mahashai,
Shri Teshwar,
Paramahansa Yogananda,
Blessed Mother,
Dearest David,
Beloved Saint Francis,
Lovingly we invoke thy presence,
into this space,
into my heart and mind.
O beloved Lord,
make me in thine own image.
I come to thee
as thy little child.
Make me simple.
And free my life from all obstacles.
Give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only king.
Standing on the throne of my consciousness.
Om.
Peace.
Simplicity. like to read this posting called Sister Simplicity. Yogananda made the statement, God is simple, everything else is complex. The Master's simple aphorism provides each of us with timely and indispensable context for navigating life in a highly energetic modern world of increasing complexity. The rapidity of man's movement alone appears to be accelerating at previously unimaginable speed. What to mention the speed of his thoughts? Just to be here now, the average citizen is daily tasked with the balancing of worlds and the compartmentalizing of myriad perspectives. In addition to our own personal, social, and familial realities, there are political, economic, and religious wars waged across the globe. Duality expressing itself in incredible and often drastic extremes. Like those engaged in fighting for a righteous cause for the benefit of others. And those invested in a kind of blatant oppression of the rights of others. Existing side by side without any kind of standardized agreement as to which is which. Or the pillaging of the earth and its resources, and the daily extraction and usage of the earth's abundance for the benefit of others. Which is actually real? The stakes are greater than ever, in the same way that they are with a 16-year-old and a car. He is more capable than he was 2 years ago of transporting himself a greater distance, and also of causing far greater destruction. If we can agree about anything in the realm of duality, it must surely be that this world we share is speeding up, and not going to slow down anytime soon. Perhaps this understanding alone is a simple starting point. The real question is, what do I do about it? Master stated that our own actual freedom lies not in fulfilling all desires by chasing the increasing complexities of the world, but in realizing ourself in simplicity, in becoming simple. For those inspired to take up the path to God in haste, this becomes a kind of rallying cry when confronted with the increasing complexity of lifetimes spent eating knowledge apples from the tree of man. At the stage of finding oneself in a mental spin cycle of compounding complications, we at least hypothetically know what to do. Keep it simple. Simplicity itself is defined as the state of being uncomplicated, uncompounded, or free from excessive elegance and artificiality. The state of being uncomplicated, uncompounded, or free from excessive elegance and artificiality. A refreshingly insightful definition. Far from being a non-desirable condition of the lowly or impoverished, simplicity is gradually revealed as a universal path for realizing happiness and freedom. It is also like the subtle superpower available to each and all for navigating the increasing complexities of a supercharged world of energy and outward expansion. Even if that world be
the mundane balancing of our own day-to-day relationships. In every situation and for every decision, we have the choice to relate simply and from a place of inner freedom. We may well begin to train ourselves to relate first to all things through a filter of sister simplicity. Is it true? Is it loving? Is it simple? The last of these acts as the harbinger of integrity to the most lofty aspirations of the first two. Simple is not synonymous with ease, however. In today's world, the simple choice is often the least praiseworthy and the most easy to skip right over. It also can sometimes involve taking the much more difficult, integral steps up front, rather than simply pushing them off to a distant time and place. To act simply is to be simple. To be simple can also be stated as being aligned harmoniously within our own self. That is, without unnecessary complications and inner conflict, and free from artificiality, like the pure happiness and freedom of inspiration in a child. All complexity of life comes from the basic misalignment of our own inner and outer world. That is, when our purpose and our daily actions don't add up. Like when we have established our purpose in life as God realization, and yet we are doing things in our daily life which go against that basic purpose, like overindulging in the senses, or spending our time doing work or activities which are actually killing our spirit. We are not aligned in the simplicity of our being, no matter how lofty our proclaimed purpose. Likewise, even as we are able to partake in positive employment, the raising of a family, or participation with a virtuous mission, if we are yet not consciously realizing God in that activity, perhaps due to believing that we ourselves are the doer of the deed, this also is not of God's simple nature. Ego-centered action of all kinds can lend itself to a growing crescendo of complexity. Simplicity is ultimately experienced in the clarity of knowing our purpose in life and the alignment of that purpose both within and without, in our innermost thoughts and feelings, and in our daily choices and activities. In this kind of simplicity, we learn to love the little steps and calm movements in the right direction. We learn to value practical activities and real life experiences as opposed to artificial alternatives and superficial motivations. Very often, the God thoughts and activities which come to us are meek and unnoticed by the world, for they are born of God's still and small voice, not the one yelling the loudest to be heard and adhered to. Master once encouraged, "Be as simple as you can be, and you will be astonished at how uncomplicated and happy your life can become." In our own aspiring simplicity, we awaken to the simple God within us and all around us. Even in the most seemingly outrageous misalignments of mind, heart, and activity of ourself and those around us, there is sister simplicity in the midst, watching and waiting for us to return to our calm center, inspiring repentance and a birth of new understanding, offering fresh and humble steps to take in today's daily duties, and renewing the right spirit of joy for becoming truly simple brothers and sisters and living in His presence always. May simplicity not be merely sweet sentiment, nor a drastic act of renunciation. May it rather be the daily practiced superpower which takes us beyond all the complications of life in this world, to realize our freedom and happiness in the eternal. Sister Simplicity whispers, "Who will listen? Who will hear?" May your simple self answer her call. In some ways, as I had felt compelled to write about simplicity, I couldn't help but notice the seeming contrast or contradiction, the kind of paradox in trying to write about simplicity. Because in truth, all of us actually, in the deepest and most simple aspects of ourselves, just understand simplicity. Because it's really where we've come from and who we are. And sometimes it's so helpful for us to just have the image of a simple child playing, and how, or I think of Leo singing, and when he's in that simple state of him, his natural self, how it just pours out of him, and he doesn't have any fear or inhibition. But he's just operating from that place of purity where he's aligned in himself. And he's very simple. And how, in so many ways, this is all of our own natural state. So when we try to even define it, it becomes more complicated. And so in some ways, I perhaps have done a service to write about it. And in other ways, I would encourage us not to think too much about it, because simplicity in itself, and just as our own natural state, is very uncomplicated. It's not something we have to analyze or figure out. It's just the true natural state of life when we are in harmony inside of ourselves. The insight which had come to me, which I wrote about and felt very clear in, was the idea that when we are in a natural harmony inside of our own thoughts and feelings and with our daily decisions and actions, when we are operating in this harmony, we are very naturally a simple person. And that we learn to observe when we get out of that sense of harmony in ourselves, when things begin to feel complicated. And this is like the opposite of simplicity, is to feel like everything is complex and we have to figure it all out. Now we have to understand that the whole world in duality is designed, in fact, to make us feel this way and to take us toward increasing complexity. And so even as simple problems arise, like how does a city have clean air or clean water? Instead of arriving back at simple understandings of life, we see the mind of man taking us in the most extreme, extremely complicated directions of trying to manufacture new technology to fix problems which in truth will only increase the future complexity. For us, this simply needs to be a kind of guide for what not to do in our own inner life. We have this come up in ourselves as we each aspire towards deeper meditation all the time, to deeper God communion. It is that all that which is in us, all the complications which are in us and the complexities will bubble up to the surface. This is actually the process of meditation. It's to have these things pulled out so that we can address them in calmness, with God's intelligence. And so as they come up, we inside of ourself are prone to this same process of either going down the rabbit hole of facing these complications with a kind of increasingly complex mind state for how to fix them, or just to relate to them simply as that which has been presented in God in this moment, which I am to hand back over to God and allow God to reveal the simple solution for whatever it is. These in many ways are like opposite attitudes of life. And we find that in this example of our own meditation, it's probably the most practical application of choosing to be simple versus becoming increasingly complex. Because we find all of our success in meditation comes by being simply simple. And as we realize this, and we learn to trust this understanding, then we soar to even greater heights, to new revelation, to all the good things that are promised to us from our Heavenly Father. They all come to us as a natural byproduct of our own choice to be simple. Conversely, we all know what it is to be swept up into a vritti of increasing complexity, whereby instead of making any progress in our own understanding, we are spinning like a tornado inside of ourself and in interacting with others. And we don't have a simple understanding anymore. As much as our intellect may try to rationalize or justify or explain itself, it's simply not the ultimate answer. In all of this, we find this incredible potential and reality of freedom, which Master spoke of. Freedom lies in simplicity. And so at each juncture of complexity or complication in our life, we find the freedom lies in being simple. What an amazingly liberating thought that is. Just of that thought alone, we can feel joy. We can feel a kind of happiness. Our work in this life is to learn how to align ourselves harmoniously on the inside and outside, so that we both, like Arjuna, live and fight the battle of life in this world. But we do it from that place of being simply aligned inside of ourselves to the truth and to love. As we go about our life and we step into every new situation and to every experience, we have this incredible filter of needing to make decisions by being simple. And so as we come up against anything, as I said in the writing, we have this opportunity to ask ourselves, well, is it simple? Is the solution that I'm embarking upon simple? God is simple, and everything else is complex. In my own journey, I found that It seemed for a while that everything in my life had to keep getting increasingly complex, forcing my hand and forcing me into simplicity and into a simple nature, because I was kept finding at every turn that my intellect, my mind, my own ability to rationalize and assess a situation simply wasn't giving me the results I needed anymore. And so sometimes God will throw all the complications of our inner self and our outer self onto the table at once, so that we have to face it now and we have to become simple now. For at least 2 or 3 years, I carried within me a great battle, which was where God had placed me on the outside, with an increasing clarity of where I was headed on the inside, and realizing that on the outside it didn't add up. And yet, there was nothing I could do to change it. I had to honor the path God was unfolding for me on the inside with Yogacharya David. That was my number one priority. And yet it wasn't for me to decide to throw out everything else that wasn't of Yogacharya David's making. Master had placed me in an organization, had placed me with soul friends, whom I had a relationship with in God. So to simply walk away from all of those things would not have been true. So embarking on that process, I had to go through an inner kind of experience, an inner kind of unfolding for how to manage this in myself, this increasing complication. If I was inclined at all to focus on the conflict, then it caused a very non-desirable state in myself. How to reconcile this life in this world when I know, for example, that my path with Yogacharya David won't be accepted by the leadership of a church. And yet here I am placed in the middle of the church. Well, my only solution was to, on the inside, find my own simplicity of trusting God. Trusting that it was all in His hands and it would all work out according to His way and His will. This meant cutting all attachments that I had in myself for how anything was going to look, for how anything would play out, and simply being true to myself in the simplest aspects of myself. At one point, I had the clear understanding come into me that there was no more conflict inside of me around any of it. My heart and my mind had expanded to a place that I was able to be true to my path with my guru and be true to the path that God had placed me in on the outside. And I didn't feel conflict in myself. I felt total acceptance for the organization and for its ways, for the people in the organization and how they related to things. I didn't feel like it was my job to change anyone. And yet I also felt totally true in myself to my sadhana with David. Now this took years to arrive at in myself. And in truth, the great irony is that I feel as soon as I started to arrive at that clarity in myself, that harmony in myself, God took it up another 2 or 3 notches and turned up the heat. And now it didn't become a matter of whether I had just harmony in myself. I had to face the disharmony in everyone else and what that meant. You see, the life on the outside is designed to be complex. It is designed to be complicated. And it is
also a matter of our own making. And if we know this, then everything that happens on the outside helps us to turn within and become simple. Because when we do that, we resolve ourselves to whatever it is God wants us to do, to relating to a situation from a complete place of simplicity. Whatever you want, God, is fine with me. And in this way, we let go of putting on any kind of show. We're not trying to present ourselves in any kind of way. We let go of any kind of superficial motivations for what we're trying to accomplish. We let go of the idea that any kind of artificial intelligence, just simply accumulating information and regurgitating it, has any point in our own life, because we are simple. What comes to us comes from God. We trust it. The steps that are before us are so often just the simplest things, and we stop skipping them, and we just take them, born of the moment of today. We embrace simple things. We embrace being practical and grounded, and serving and learning to love our neighbors. These are all just natural byproducts of the fruit of living a life in harmony with ourselves. And so in all of these things, we see this great way of life take shape within us and around us, of becoming simple, of letting go of all of the ego's agendas, and just rejoicing in my own freedom that I'm just a simple little child. In the end, all these things that I say are ideas, and they are thoughts to help each one of us to just simply trust and become simple ourselves. And yet again and again, I tell you, simplicity and being simple is not outside of you. It is you. Embark on that path today and embrace the joy of it and the freedom of it right now. We don't need to create any unnecessary barriers or complexities in ourself. We don't need to create any more. God is simple and everything else is complex. This is like the aphorism for Dwapara Yuga, and it will become only increasingly important and essential for each soul to navigate God's reality versus the reality of men. And of course, in the end, we see that as we grow into that simplicity, we find that the reality of men spiritualizes and it becomes God. We find that we can be sitting at the Grange table with 20 other people, and on the outside it can be total chaos. But on the inside, there is incredible joy because the Brecken Bros are holding the gavel. And together we are watching an amazing show in Ram. We see that for the people at the table who are the most invested in that complicated nature, they are they're having the hardest time. But for the people at the table who are just simple and ready to take simple steps, it's all God right now. And at the same table, we can all sit and watch the show, participate in the show, play our part. And it's all good right now. And so we have to sit at the table so that at this table of life, so that we can learn this lesson, so that we can see what it is to be totally confused to be totally complicated in our thoughts, and to see what it is to be totally clear and clean in our thoughts. Because we have a choice to make. Every moment, every day, we have our choices. And our choice always to be simple, to be with God, to find God inside of things. This is just always actually the solution, manifesting in ever new ways. But it's not complicated at all. So as we find ourselves getting caught up in any kind of waves of complications, any kind of feeling overwhelmed or feeling unworthy, feeling incapable, so many emotions that we can take on that come from embracing this kind of complicated understanding of life. Just be simple again. There's nothing else. And in that, we will experience far more than we ever could, caught up in endless labyrinths of intellectual pride or of being completely overwhelmed by how complicated it's become. We are free. And so, as we sit in this room, we should always rejoice at what we have amongst each other, the kind of fellowship of simplicity, which is in truth very rare in this world. And we're all growing in this. And as we each grow individually into this kind of simple trust and understanding of God in our life, we help one another to grow in that. And not only do we help one another, we serve as a kind of light for this world and everyone who encounters it, that they can be simple too. That the real revolution for how to fix this world isn't in going out and participating it by its own rules and ways. It's by being the alternative, by being simple again, by being brothers and sisters, doing all the simple things, loving God, that's it. And so let us not take it for granted what we have in this simplicity. Let us, even now, open our hearts. Feel the joy, the fellowship of simplicity. Everyone's invited. No church needed. Take a few moments just to sit in silence together and rejoice in simplicity. And as Bhima's ready and inspired, he can play us a song.
Take this opportunity to see those in our lives becoming simple. If this world is speeding up, simplicity is slowing down. So let us see one another and all those that we love slowing down, finding that place of calmness. And making good decisions, simple choices.
the same way the Dalai Lama would see compassion for everyone in this world, let us also see simplicity. Perhaps in the form of a simple city. Let's pray together, Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
Thou art omnipresent.
Thou art
in all your children.
Manifest
your loving and simple presence.
In all bodies.
In all minds. And in all souls. Happy Sabbath, everyone.
Simple city.
Got it.
Wow. Never thought of
that. It's like a fish in the sea.
It is.
Efficiency.
Definitely a master poo move.
Simple city. Yeah.
Where is Simple City?
We can't find a Simple City.
Maybe it's in the 100-acre woods.
Thanks for tuning in to what we need to hear.
Yeah. Check. Feels like we can't get too far from simplicity.
No.
It's too complicated.
Peony, thanks for bringing back the simplicity song.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Somehow it just didn't occur to me that that's what you would chant. Was it simple enough for
it
me?
It was too simple.
It was too simple. I missed it.
Simplicity song.
I was feeling the, and the lead leading up to it, as you know, just how vital it is to just keep staying simple,
yeah.
Not get swept up in anything.
Yeah, thank you. It helps me relate to it in the right way. Especially the conversations, paperwork, and
rules.
I'm not going to think too hard about this. Yeah. Go with my gut.
Keep it simple.
That was a great dinner.
What's that?
It was a great dinner.
We came home for dinner.
We came home for dinner.
Oh.
What is it?
He was referring to you saying that we're all going to come home for dinner. Oh. And he said it was a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, that image came to me, like being in the schoolyard and playing all day. Like, you're just swept up into everything. There's been fights. There's been goals scored. It's been like everything has been happening. And then, like, mom's like, come home. Get home. Like, come over. I lived across from the schoolyard. Zachary. Like, I don't want to come home. To come home and be simple again. Like, let go of it all.
The whole week is just like a day.
Exactly. That's what we do every week.
A week is
well,
a day.
Headed works. Back out to the schoolyard. Wish me luck.
Oh dear. Well, as I grow up, I appreciate home more. In the, you know, the simplicity of home.
Mm-hmm.
In your consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're a kid, a day is like a week. And when you're growing up, a week is like a day.
Whoa.
This is getting more complex.
So I'm grateful for the Sabbath.
Yeah,
me
too. Yeah, it was interesting feeling how, like, sharing thoughts around simplicity, but how it can't be a mental construct.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like, being free.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's who you
and,
are.
And having integrity in that freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah. So wonderful. We can observe little people still and how simple they can be and how free we can feel in that presence.
Mm-hmm.
But then how it can also go to the other extreme and be a disaster. But we have a lot to learn from them and they have a lot to learn from us.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, man. For 30 minutes during the nursery day, it was like 30 minutes. Leo was just sitting with this wooden board, and Pian had found this clay from the beach when we went to the state park a week or two ago.
Mm.
And he was just like sprinkling, like taking apart the clay and sprinkling it on this wooden board and putting wood chips. And I just kept looking over. Oh, is he bored yet? What's? I mean, he's just sat there. He was so engaged, and then he went to each person like, "Look,
this platter of earthly material.
Yes,
yes, rocks and wood chips
yeah.
and clay."
He said, "I heard him say to himself, 'I'm making soil.'"
Oh.
Early on. Then when I asked him, "Is that soil?" he wouldn't say.
When I came up to him, he was crumbling it into like the dirt, and he's like, "Is clay nature? Like, is it okay if it's in the dirt?" It's like, "Yeah, it's a kind of nature." It's
oh,
like a mind.
What
it's
a question!
He was so aware.
Mm-hmm.
Wow! What a question. Yeah, I thought it was interesting in the definition of simplicity that had an emphasis on being free from artificiality.
Mm-hmm.
And so the implication is like simple is like natural, simple is real, and like artificial things. And then I just like immediately artificial intelligence popped into my head and how that's the name that we've given it.
Yeah.
It's actually like what everyone agrees that it is.
Embraces.
Yeah. But it's actually not real intelligence. It's just
information. Yeah. But there's been no filter of simplicity. So it's like dangerous. Mm-hmm. It's very like, it's a interesting precipice that we find ourselves on, mm-hmm. with access to artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. It can define reality for us if we're not careful, if we're not simple. Mm-hmm. Ironically, the proclaimed task of artificial intelligence is supposed to be to simplify. Google's been like summarizing my email exchanges for me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, oh my god, it actually does a decent job some of the time. I'm like, wow, this is surreal. But yeah, I think, and ultimately it just makes me feel this trajectory beyond all of it. Mm-hmm. Like, this can't be the end game.
Yeah. It makes real life more special.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it makes Master's vision so clear for how to live, and mm-hmm. but how that has to be arrived at through actual simplicity and harmonizing of our inner and outer self, so that our decisions on the outside match mm-hmm. being simple on the inside, or else you wouldn't have the motivation to make soil. Mm-hmm. Or to be connected to the earth around you. Mm-hmm. It's like you almost have to have the simplicity first before that's a valid direction of integration in life, his vision, before it can be made whole. Mm-hmm. It starts with simplicity and it ends with simplicity. We're all still here, and I had another reading from David from today, from February 8th. And I ended up not doing it because I had introduced the simplicity theme right up front, but this is called Where Two or More Are Gathered. And it has some crossover themes. One day God gave me a funny. He said, "Where two or more are gathered, there shall be politics." And you know, he is right. Because even amongst like-minded personalities, there will be differences on any topic when you get into particulars. Now, my mother told me not to discuss politics or religion in polite company. It does no good, in quotes. Well, that leaves what? The weather? Even that is not a safe subject today, with global warming being such a hot topic. That's funny. People have differences. It is systemic to creation and to God's great diversity throughout nature. The word politics traces its history back to a book with the title written by Aristotle. After writing a book about ethics, his narrative naturally wove into his next book on politics. The Greek word politikos became the French word politiques, and was later Anglicized as politics. Among its many shades of meaning is of, for, or relating to citizens. Politics has always had its contentious side. When Julius Caesar proclaimed himself dictator, Marcus Brutus made his political point with the end of a knife to divest his old friend and mentor of his monarchical powers. With the death of millions of innocents, along with the perpetrators down through the years, we definitely know that there are real-life consequences to politics. Today, our airwaves are filled with raucous politics, sharp edges dueling and colliding with contrasting ideas and motivations. We are fortunate today that the majority of those sharp edges are words, and not blades, guns, or worse. And how do politics and spiritual living go together? In a word, very carefully. It's actually just carefully. In a word, carefully. There are those who tie religion and politics closely together, saying that God is on their side, and those who do not agree are evil. And others make political assertions with all the certitude of religious conviction. Dissenters are seen as immoral. In both cases, anyone differing from the party line is beyond respectable. There are real-life consequences to decisions made in the political arena, so it is easy to see why emotions can take over, and that is especially true when there is no respect for God in another. Seeing God in another, even when he or she may be in error. In the Mahabharata, the epic poem that includes an immense war, one of the warriors is asked, "Can you fight without anger?" This is an interesting question when the stakes are so high. He replies that he can. Only then is he allowed to enter the fray. Inflamed emotions such as anger, greed, revenge, and fear can all lead to adharmic behavior that not only retards the progress of an individual, but all those his or her life touches. Therefore, those called to a political life are tested on their unique battlefield and are called upon to act with the utmost integrity, to ever abide by their highest light for the greatest good of all. And for those of us not directly on this battlefield, but interested participants in the body politic, we too must act in accordance with Dharma. The very same emotions that sink a politician can be a black mark on a citizen. Explosive anger, fear, and greed leave their residue on any wayward devotee. Trust in God, compassion, and recognizing that good people can disagree are ways to stay attuned to inward stillness and true wisdom. Master admonishes, "Wise men discuss, fools argue." Of course, all may have clear, well-defined positions, and many of us do, but keeping proper perspective is a must for spiritual balance. Some choose to defer decisions to others and not get involved, but actively informed citizen yogis help keep things on track. One does not need to watch every thrust and blow in hand-to-hand political combat, but to stay abreast of the evolving issues and tune in to how God directs you on each issue is consistent with being a responsible citizen with the privilege to vote. This makes for a better, albeit imperfect, system. Devotees, too, have a widely varying perspectives on issues. Even this can lead to wonderful results. Two dear devotees are an example of this. One devotee has been a long-term activist for worker rights and the downtrodden. Another is a leader of the police force near the Canadian-American border. There was to be a large protest at the border crossing. The policeman arrived at a planning meeting between law enforcement and the protest organizers. He was anxious about the coming protest, knowing that they could take ugly turns. When he walked into the meeting, he recognized one of the organizers on the other side, a fellow Kriyaban, an activist friend. He immediately relaxed and thought, "Everything is going to be okay." And it was. In God, every difference need not separate us in spirit. Rather, first, find the unity operating beneath the great diversity of creation. As Jesus originally said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Being established in this unity, found in God consciousness, allows for the unfoldment of harmonious differences. Each one may hold firm opinions, yet there is a recognition that it is all God's play and that God enjoys his play. God within you chooses your level of interest and involvement in the rough and tumble world of politics. But whatever he chooses for you, you are always mindful that this is theater. Underneath, all are actors playing parts. By not losing contact with God, you do not get lost in the play.